It's time for Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast brought to you by the fan site, taylorswift13.org.
Ho, 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 and welcome to Taylor Talk Episode 7. This is Santa.
Jingles. Jelly Bean.
And Chipper.
And Adam.
Belle.
Jensita.
And Maya.
We hope you guys appreciate our special guests that are going to be popping in and out of this episode. But let's get episode 7 rolling, first with some announcements. As we mentioned at the end of the episode last week, Taylor Talk is going on winter break. The next 2 weeks are Christmas and then New Year's, so we're taking a 2 week break. Hope you guys all enjoy your 2 week break as well. Please use that time to come up with some great submissions for all of our mini segments, including You Know You're a Swiftie When, If Swifties Ruled the World, What Would Taylor Do, and some uplifting Taylor stories. As usual, those can be submitted to at TaylorTalk13 or TaylorTalk at TaylorSwift13.org. Also, final announcement, we want to welcome you to Taylor Talk, the YouTube channel. We created a Taylor Talk YouTube channel. It's the same name as our Twitter account, just TaylorTalk13. Basically, what it's going to be utilized for is overflow content. Whenever there's something we forget to say during an episode, things like that, whenever we have our video blogs from when we all meet up, those are all going to be on that channel now. So check it out starting over winter break.
The first video will be posted on Christmas Day, and it's going to be our video blog from New York.
Yay! Thank you, Belle. So, Belle, if you can give us the upcoming calendar, please do.
Well, this year's kind of exciting because no matter what you're celebrating, everything's kind of overlapping. Hanukkah is taking place from December 20th through December 28th. Christmas is December 25th, as always. And Kwanzaa is December 26th through January 1st.
I love when all the holidays overlap. It's such a happy time.
Except for us when we're overworked and underpaid.
Now, it's all about the children.
You're right, Santa.
As always.
Well, we're going to sway from Santa's ego for a second to talk about the Taste of Country Awards. Taylor has 7 nominations, and you can still vote for all of those at tasteofcountry.com. So vote as much as you can, as often as you can. Let's get Taylor to win these awards, because this is their first awards, and that would be really awesome. And voting is going to close on January 1st, 2012, at 11:59 p.m., which means you can still vote all through New Year's Day. So please vote, because what else are you going to do on New Year's Day? Come on. It's like the day to lay around and do nothing, so vote for Taylor. Winners will be announced on January 3rd, so we'll know if you voted for Taylor or not, which means that you've been nice instead of naughty. The People's Choice Awards, she has 3 nominations, and those are going to air on January 11th, 2012. And now there's going to be another video on our YouTube page for that. So Maya, why don't you go ahead and give us the news?
All right, so we'll start off with, according to MTV News, the Speak Now World Tour was the 5th highest grossing tour of 2011, pulling in $97 million from 89 shows.
Ho ho, holy moly!
I want the Speak Now DVD for Christmas! I wish I could have left the factory and actually been to one of the shows, but Santa's mean and wouldn't let us go.
Now, just put the Speak Now DVD on your Christmas wish list.
And the next news item is that Taylor appeared on T.I. and Tiny, The Family Hustle on December 12th, and it was a behind-the-scenes look at when T.I. did a duet with Taylor for her show in Atlanta. The full episode can be viewed on taylorswift13.org/videos under Other Videos, so you can go watch the whole episode there. It's nice. It's a sort of a different behind-the-scenes look than we've had before. Our third news item is that Taylor had her birthday just 5 days ago. She turned 22, and she had a party at her condo in Nashville with a bunch of her friends, Kaylee Williams and Will from the band Parachute, and Grant, who tweeted that he stole a whole bunch of cake pops from the way home. I looked at the picture. I think it looks like he took like 7 of them.
We worked really hard making those for that party, and Grant stole them all.
Grant, behave or you'll find yourself on the naughty list.
We even gave him a little kitty.
Yeah, him and Claire have a new kitten, too, which apparently is a girl whose name they have not decided on yet. So if you have name ideas, you can tweet Grant Michelson, and it's at Grant Michelson and at Claire Calloway, too. Tweet them with your kitten name ideas. See, also at her party, her friend Marisha May, also her friend Chelsea Lanks, some of the agency members. So yeah, it seems like it was a fun party. A lot of her friends tweeted pictures throughout the night.
Why weren't we invited? You're too small. I'm too small for everything. It's not fair.
And we wanted to read a few of the birthday tweets that Taylor got. Well, first of all, she herself tweeted, I'm so 22 right now. And Liz also tweeted her, happy birthday, Taylor Swift, you're so 22 right now. Taylor posted a picture of herself in the studio with the caption, studio/birthday/new album/red shoes, which I'm sure got everyone really excited because that means she's working on a new album. Yay. So on her birthday, no less, she went into the studio on her birthday to work
on a new album. She loves what she does, so it's not really work, is it?
Taylor has a great work ethic. Maybe you should work more than 1 month a year too, Santa.
Yeah, Santa.
I only work 1 day a year.
And you get paid in cookies and milk.
Well, that's why I got the big belly.
Can't argue with that.
Taylor also tweeted at the end of the night on her birthday, best birthday ever. Thank you for all the birthday wishes. You made me feel really special today with 3 smiley faces, so must have been an extra good birthday. Ellen DeGeneres tweeted 4 different tweets to Taylor. The first one was, happy birthday, Taylor Swift. Today you're 22. I'm 53, so that means you're literally half my age. The second one was, happy birthday to my friend Taylor Swift, who turns 22 today. Remember, it's not just an age, it's also my PIN number. The third one was, it's Taylor Swift's birthday. She's lovely, funny, blonde, and is a cover girl. What I'm saying is, she's been copying me for years. And the last one, which on a bit of a more serious note, was, happy birthday, Taylor Swift. You're an incredible person with an incredible heart, and I love you.
I was just going to say, I wanted to explain the first one for the non-number crunchers, because a lot of people don't seem to get it. The one where Ellen says, you're 22, I'm 53, so that means you're literally half my age. 22 plus 2 is 4, 5 plus 3 is 8. So that's what Ellen was talking about. So hopefully you just had one of those, oh, moments.
Oh.
Oh, that's not fair. You guys are faking it, because I already pointed that out to you earlier. Don't act like you picked up on that on your own.
We're just trying to be nice to you, Adam. Gosh.
It's okay. I just wanted to make sure everybody understood it because it was kind of a confusing tweet.
I still don't get it.
Okay. Chinsita, finish the news for us, please.
So, the CMT Artist of the Year special was aired on December 13th, and they paid tribute to 5 different artists, including Taylor. And she had the All American Rejects pay tribute to her song Mean, and they put a little twist on it with their version of Give You Hell. And you can actually watch the full episode on CMT.com. And it was really cute to see Taylor. You can see her actually singing along with Liz and Charity in the background. And they start singing the songs. And when All American Rejects starts singing Give You Hell, they kind of look at each other like, what's going on? But it was really funny and awesome. And it gave Adam the chills. So you should go watch it.
It did give me the chills. That was an unbelievable performance.
Brazil, exciting news for you. The Speak Now DVD is now available at universalmusic.com.br/Taylor Swift. And you can now purchase the DVD. And there's a special long-live version that Taylor does with Paula Fernandes. So if you want to hear Long Live in Spanglish, there's also been a clip going around on YouTube, Tumblr. The song will actually be released to Brazil iTunes on January 3rd. And then I believe to everyone on January 10th. I was translating in Spanish, so don't hold me accountable for that worldwide one on January 10th.
Oh, it's going to be all your fault if it doesn't happen.
The Ars music video is now available on iTunes, so if you have not downloaded it yet, go get it right now.
Go buy it this instant.
All right. So last week, we talked about the first 8 behind-the-scenes webisodes for the music video Hours. Now the rest of them have been released, so we're going to go 9 through 13. Let's start with number 9, entitled The Inspiration.
Taylor's inspiration came from the times that she tried to do things other than music, and Declan recalls an old job working for the English government where he had to measure the size of ads in regional newspapers. So, like, it's very relatable because it's a completely common problem, hating your job.
So, I've got to ask you guys then, what's the worst job you guys have ever had?
The worst job I ever had was probably my freshman year in college when I was working part-time for a real estate agency. And I'd go in for 5-hour shifts, and I'd sit in this cubicle, and everybody was completely dead silent. And, you know, I'd have to work on this computer and just go over spreadsheets, and it was the most repetitive. I mean, a monkey could do it. There was no reason I was there. They could have just brought in a bunch of capuchin monkeys and had them sit there and do this.
Well, apparently Declan's job could have been done by a monkey as well, measuring the size of ads in different newspapers.
I agree. Monkeys would be perfectly capable of doing that. And they wouldn't even have to pay monkeys. They could just give them a bunch of bananas like the guy in the elevator.
Ooh, we get to talk about him later, don't we?
Yes.
So, Maya, what was your worst job ever?
I mean, I haven't had too many terrible ones, but I was a hostess for a while at a restaurant, and I had to, like, clean bathrooms. And that was not fun at all.
That's so gross.
And, like, there's just a lot of tedious work, like, cleaning bathrooms and, like, making, like, napkin roll-ups with the silverware in them and, like, you know, just, like... And I would come home from work every day smelling, like, oil. It's kind of nasty.
I've actually had to clean restrooms, and I don't even consider that my worst job.
Uh-oh.
Not that it's not that bad, but afraid. I mean, in Iowa, when I went to school out there... you don't get paid very much. And you know how most movie theaters have janitors that come in at night and they clean the theaters for you? Like, they, like, you know, really clean them out, mop the floors, clean the bathrooms, use the vacuum. So, basically, I had to do that for, like, a little five theater. There was only five screens at that theater. And you get paid, like, $6 an hour. So, you know, it didn't take very long, but you had to clean, like, the men's restroom and the women's restroom and all the theaters. And I was like, sometimes I'm like, I got paid $12 to just clean this whole theater right now. Like, is it really worth it, you know?
No.
Yeah.
Cleaning men's restrooms is awful.
I had to work in the dish room in college, too, you know, at our, like, cafeteria-type place. And people would just start getting, like, really creative with the cups and the food, and they would try to, like, jam as much stuff into the cups as possible, like, really gross mixtures of things. And then they'd put them on the trays and put them through the line that you grab the trays in, and then you have to start washing everything, and, yeah, that kind of got disgusting.
So... I think Declan and Taylor made the fair point then, based on all of your stories, that it is relatable. You know, everybody's been in that position before. Every adult, at least, that has been employed.
So why don't we read off what they have to say about it?
We slave for 12 months out of the year, while Santa only has to work one day, like he said, so I think this is our worst job.
Now, don't be bitter.
You're an angry elf.
Oh,
bite me!
Oh, you gave Santa a good belly laugh.
I'm Santa's favorite.
Suck up!
Oh, jelly bean. Jingle bell. Okay.
Yeah, Santa, can you please stop interrupting? Seriously?
Gosh.
Like, we're trying to host
a
podcast.
The elves that keep interrupting, actually.
I know. Elves. Santa, you gotta keep those elves in check.
Now, Adam, don't tell me how to do my job.
Okay, whatever. So, Jensita, let's read this as we were planning on doing. Do you want to kick it off?
Okay, I'll be Taylor, and Adam will read the parts of Declan, because they kind of intertwine here. So, the inspiration for this video comes from a lot of different times that I, Taylor, have tried to do things other than music. And you know, if you get kind of funneled into a job that isn't what you love doing, you just end up a lot like this. And then she put her hands to her face as if she was really bored.
A lot of people will be able to relate to this video because it's a very common tale. You hate your job, whether it's in an office or in the field.
Taking classes in school that you're not passionate about, or taking summer jobs that are absolutely nothing like what you want to do with your life.
Whatever it might be, we all have days like that.
It's that feeling that makes people want to escape on the weekend, that makes people rush home to see their family and hug their kids because that's what they live for.
Oh, I should have done my British voice for Declan.
I know, he has an awesome accent. So, that was webisode 9, and then we're going to jump into webisode 10, which talks about the message of ours, or the inspiration for this song. And Taylor is basically talking about where she got her inspiration from. And I'll just read the quote that she talks about during the video. And she says, "This is a song I wrote about somebody that I was in love with. And I just didn't see why everyone had to weigh in on their opinions about it. The fact of the matter is, when you have a relationship, it's really only about two people. And this song is really about that, and about keeping it between two people, and not letting anyone else's opinions matter. The chorus says things that I'm really proud of, like the line that says, 'People throw rocks at things that shine.' The truth of the matter is, happiness isn't a constant. You get fleeting glimpses of it, when the rest of it, you're fighting for it. But those moments are what make it all worth it." My favorite thing about this is that the fans have put their own meanings to what the song is, and the chorus applies to love in so many different forms, and I think that's what I like most about this song.
Thoughts, opinions?
I think I understood now where I remember in the last episode of Taylor Talk, we were talking about how she said the fans chose this song. And I have seen people throw rocks at things that shine. I think everyone took that phrase out of the song the most, and they've been using that whenever someone says something mean or they say something about Taylor or about you, and people just say, you know, don't worry about it. People throw rocks at things that shine. And so I think a lot of people have really related to that statement. And so I think maybe that's why everyone has sort of gravitated toward this song.
Honestly, like, that's the lyric I remember most about the song, and I really do tend to, like, go back to that lyric whenever I'm having, like, moments of frustration or something, because it's true. I mean, not everybody is going to like your choices or what you do, but if you're okay with your choices and you're proud of, like, who you are and you like the person that you're with and everything, really, it's about you. It's not about anybody else. And I think that statement really did hit me.
And I like how she says that the relationship is about two people. And I mean, a lot of times you're so worried about what your friends think or that sort of thing. And when it comes down to it, like, friends are fleeting. Like, you might have them this year and they can be gone the next year. But if you are with someone who you end up with for the rest of your life, like, that's the person that matters. And that's the person that's going to always be there for you and have your back. So you have to make sure that you guys are in it together and you can't care about what other people think about you. Unless he's absolutely a horrible person and, like, in jail or something. But, you know, you do have to make sure.
Jensita, we're not talking about the guys you tend to be into here.
Oh, yes. Yes, Adam. All one of my relationship.
Yes.
I think you make a really good point, though, about the people that are going to come and go out of your life versus the person that's going to stay in your life. Because, I mean, even if you go even beyond, like, a romantic relationship, the person that, like, you're with, like, that you're dating, like, in my opinion, it's a huge problem if you're not putting that person first.
I just want to point out the fact, who's Taylor dating right now?
No one.
Exactly. So whoever this song was about, everybody around her was right. So, I mean, how do you speak to that?
But, like, when you're in it, though, it doesn't matter.
If it's about who I suspect it's about, she learned a really important lesson. And it was a lesson that she wouldn't have learned if she had listened to other people. She had to learn it on her own. And so, I mean, in my opinion, if you break up with somebody because of what everybody else thinks, you chance being wrong, and you're always going to wonder what if. But even if you stay with that person despite what everybody else thinks, and you get hurt anyways, then you know that it's because of that person. There's no what if. There's no question in your mind.
That's a fair point. You answered my question.
I also want to point out, don't become one of those people who just ditches all their friends as soon as they get a boyfriend. And, you know, like, we're not saying that you should be exclusively, and that's not what Taylor's saying, like, you should just exclusively be with that person and don't talk to any of your other friends. It's just make the point of make sure your relationship matters and, you know, listen to what other people are saying. But at the end of the day, it's you have to trust your heart and what you feel is right and what, you know, because those other people might not know that person the way you do. Yeah, maybe they end up being right, but you have to give that person a chance and not judge them based on what other people are saying. And I think that's really important. So, webisode 11,
entitled Working with Taylor, features Declan and Zach primarily talking about what it was like to work with Taylor, including Declan talking about how involved Taylor is, which I think we already knew that, didn't we? That Taylor is pretty much involved with everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, extremely. And that's one of the things that I completely respect about her. She doesn't take a backseat to anything when it comes to her career.
Yeah, she writes the songs, she co-produces the songs, she comes up with the ideas for the videos, you know, she helps design the tours, like, she's involved in everything.
I think that has a huge, or that is a huge part of why she is more successful than other artists right now.
I completely 100% agree with you.
She is a genius. Do you know, I had a friend once who had the nerve to say, oh, a friend of mine met Taylor and said she's like an airhead and she's dumb and whatever. And I'm like, I doubt that.
Like, I mean, I don't know how you could get that impression from meeting someone for 5 seconds, but also, like, yeah, I don't think many other people have that impression.
Like, if you study her work, and based on people she's worked with, like Declan and Zach in this video, how could you ever even consider her being anything short of a genius?
Well, exactly, and that's what Declan says. He says that, you know, a lot of the times people send them a song and they write an idea of how they want the video to go and they send it back to the artist and the artist says, okay, I like this, I want to change this. But with Taylor, she knows what she wants. She sends, okay, this is what I want the video to be. And, you know, she creates the idea, and Declan says, like, he makes the concept happen. And, he, you know, he said he's worked with a lot of other artists, and nobody is, like, this involved as she is, and as great a human being as she is. So then, like, I like how Zach says, too, that, you know, she's basically guiding her own career. She's not being told what to do by someone. She's creating it. She's making it happen.
I think we've talked about this about in regards to Taylor, about other issues and subjects as well, about how her career is in her control and in her hands, and she wouldn't have it any other way, and I don't think any of us would either.
Right.
Yeah, that's how it should be, though. I mean, how many people are making a fortune off of other people's work because they're either lazy, they just, you know, other artists in particular that, you know, they have other people write their songs, they have other people promote them, they have other people plan their tours.
You know, a friend of mine said something that really stuck with me, and this is probably at least a couple of years ago that she said it, but she was gonna record a cover, and somebody wanted to, like, write a song that they wanted her to sing, and she's like, well, if I was gonna do that, then I would just go to the bar and sing karaoke. Like, that's basically, you know, her point was basically, if she's not gonna write her own music, what's the point? Mm-hmm. And so, Taylor, if you listen to any of her songs, like you were saying, how can anybody call her an airhead? If you listen to any of her songs, she is incredibly observant, incredibly insightful, and incredibly good at describing her observations, thoughts, and feelings. And that's all her. And that's one of the reasons that I absolutely love her music. There's certain other artists that I listen to, and I'm like, okay, this is a good song, but where is it coming from? If the artist didn't write it, I don't connect to it nearly as well, because I don't know anything about the person that wrote it, and I don't know how to relate to it as well.
And going beyond that, though, we were just talking about how Taylor's involved in everything. I think that is part of her success, is it provides a consistent message across everything. Like, you get the same feel and same emotions from her videos, from her tour, from just listening to her album on iTunes or the CD, whatever you happen to have. You're going to get the same message and the same vibe because she's the one that does all of it.
Completely agreed.
Any last thoughts on Webisode 11?
Nah.
All right. Webisode 12. I think is still unnamed because it hasn't been put on Taylor's official channel yet. But I think it's everybody's favorite at this point, is it not?
It's funny.
I love it.
I love episode 12.
It's the longest one yet, about 4.5 minutes. And it goes through and all the extras basically play out their characters as if their characters had speaking lines. And they talk about their relation as a character to Taylor's character.
And it's like a parody of the NBC show The Office.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. But in my opinion, the banana guy stole the show again.
Banana guy always steals the show. If you're holding a banana, you're always going to steal a show no matter what's going on.
Who is this banana guy, I wonder? Like, who's the actor?
I don't know. They talked about in the one about the extras that they just did a casting call, and, you know, people just came in and Declan picked people who looked weird. So he's I wonder probably if they know that. Just one
know, the
of
guy,
those
the
people.
Guy looks like somebody that might have had a walk-on role on My Name is Earl.
I don't know, but I would love nothing more than to get the banana guy on our show for an interview.
That would be awesome.
It's too bad we have no idea who he is.
Research. If anybody knows anything about the banana guy, email us.
Yes, email us.
TaylorTalk@taylorswift13.org.
Please do. So who was your favorite extra besides the banana guy? Based on this video.
Mine was the guy who threw the paper airplane at Taylor, and she was just like, really? Really?
Yeah.
I like the guy that was supposedly the head of IT. He's that big redhead dude with the glasses and everything. And he's all like, yeah, I'm a ginger, you know, saying like ginger, like slang for redhead. And then he said something about a side job, how he teaches like martial arts or something. He's like, yeah, I'm the ginger ninja. I busted up laughing when he called himself the ginger ninja. Oh my god, that was so funny.
And they were all saying how, like, nobody's ever seen Taylor's boyfriend. Yeah, she supposedly has a boyfriend. Nobody's ever seen him.
Oh, speaking of that, except for the guy who's her only friend, the janitor.
The janitor,
he's like,
yeah.
He knew exactly who the guy was. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh yeah, he's in the service and he's off serving in the military right now.
I liked the janitor. He was like the guy from Good Will Hunting, but a lot awesomer.
Okay.
He could have like solved the blackboard equations at night.
Maybe.
Oh, you're talking about the main character from Good Will Hunting. I'm like, who?
Yeah.
No, the other janitor.
Well, she said the guy from Good Will Hunting. She didn't say the janitor from Good Will Hunting.
Well, I got it. It's okay.
Okay, whatevs. Whatever. The boss's son. How annoying is he?
Oh, yeah. He seems like a jerk.
He's even more annoying when he opens his mouth than with the clicky stapler things. Like, as soon as he opens his mouth and starts talking, you want to just punch him.
Violence.
Yeah. Well, not, you know, but I mean, that's the character he plays.
I feel like the holidays bring out the violence in people.
I know, they bring out the violence in me.
Well, that is true. There's more emergency domestic violence room visits during the holidays.
There, it's actually I believe the highest day for domestic violence in the United States is Thanksgiving.
That's so sad. That's totally scary, but I can totally understand it because it's like families are forced to get together that hate each other.
Exactly. Just because you're blood related doesn't mean you're family. Sorry. Off topic.
Just a little.
We have some unresolved issues you need to talk about, Adam.
Yeah, we'll save it for another episode.
We have
Taylor
family
talk.
Issues that'll be in some other therapeutic issue. Well, maybe we'll have like a therapy session of Taylor Talk one day.
Ooh, people could call in.
Yeah.
Yeah, except that it's not a live recording, so how would they know when we're recording to call
in? We'll do it in advance.
Therapy session. It can be like the dating hotline from Saved by the Bell.
Yes.
Hi, this is Nitro! A.K.A. Zach.
Okay, we are really off topic now.
Alright, so that's a wrap. So, we find out this girl has been waiting all year to pick up her boyfriend from the airport who's just getting back from serving in the military. Taylor describes it as an epic romantic place to have a reuniting, which I've never really seen an airport as being romantic, but okay. If Taylor says it must be so.
Taylor could find romance in a garage, okay?
No, but seriously, like, if you go to an arrivals gate in an airport, it's so cute. It's very romantic. It's like the beginning of Love Actually, if you've ever seen that.
Well, when I went to New York, I was, like, waiting at the airport for a while before I left, once I got to New York, and there was a couple of couples that were, like, reuniting.
They're adorable.
Not that I was being nosy or creepy, but, you know.
Well, you are nosy watching. And creepy, okay. Though, Belle.
Don't need to be mean, Adam. Gosh.
I know. I'm getting coal in my stocking.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Whatevs. Anyway, so what did you guys think of the end surprise? Because remember, Taylor had said there was a surprise
Hangover
at the end of the video.
Two.
What?
I just figured out where your whatevs comes from.
So when the Hours music video was first announced, before it was even released, you know, Taylor said that there was the surprise ending. And then when we finally saw it, we were talking about, what was the surprise ending? She finally said in episode 13, the surprise ending was that the guy she's been daydreaming about all day is finally, or dreaming about, is finally coming home on that day when she gets off of work. Was that really much of a surprise, or did you guys see that coming?
Well, it's like, if you didn't know anything about the filming and, like, that people were all talking on Twitter about, like, they saw a guy in the uniform, blah, blah, blah. It's like, just seeing the video, you wouldn't know that that's coming. Like, you just think she's, like, at work and she's bored and she's daydreaming about her boyfriend. You don't realize until the end that it's that she's daydreaming about her boyfriend who's in the military and probably away for a really long time. And
yeah, I can see that. It's hard to think about it because we knew, like, ahead of time, but
but, like, for someone who didn't know.
But when I was watching it, it seems like this is a guy that's waiting at home for her, not in the military. So I guess that's the surprise, is that he's a military guy?
Yeah, he's in the military, and he's, you know, been away this whole time, and
that's why they reunite at the airport, because he's,
it
like,
just makes
just
the whole day that much more, like, everything that you just watched
makes
hit you
it
that
mean
much more.
More, yeah.
Sorry, I'm just brainstorming, just thinking about it, about the video. I still don't see the shock value. I do see a surprise, though, but there wasn't, like, a oh my gosh moment.
I think it's probably even an emotional video for people, you know, who experience that in real life.
That's true. It could also be because there's a lot of support right now for the military going on within country music, I think. I think Taylor actually mentioned them in the CMT Awards, didn't she?
Yes,
the
she did.
Artist of the Year?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She did mention that. Yeah, I think there's just a lot of military support going around in the country world right now, so that was also part of it. So, do we have any last thoughts on any of the webisodes or the Hours video or anything like that before we wrap up our discussion?
One last reminder, if anybody knows the banana guy, let us know.
Yeah, if anyone knows the banana guy. All right, well, in that case, that's a wrap. Anyway, so all...
Bad Taylor puns.
Yeah, that was a good pun. Stop it.
That's what you always say.
I do always say that. You're right. Anyway, so in case you missed any of these, all 13 webisodes and the Hours music video can be viewed at taylorswift13.org/videos. They are all there. So let's move on to If Swifties Ruled the World, with our very first submissions of You Know You're a Swiftie When.
Okay, our first one is from Twitter. It's from @LuckyNumberA, and they said, "You know you're a Swiftie when you use bad Taylor puns with your friends, but no one catches them, so you keep making them."
Like Adam.
What are you talking about?
Like Adam.
I never make Taylor puns.
Nope, never.
So the next one was submitted by Rebecca Moss, 13. "You know you're a Swiftie when you hear people talk about Tennessee or Nashville and immediately think of Taylor."
I have to tell a story about that, actually, because that one was very relatable to me. Because I was sitting in, it was kind of ironic. I was sitting in a show when I saw that come through on Twitter on my phone. I saw Terry Fader, the ventriloquist guy. Mm-hmm. Have you guys heard of him? No? Yeah? No?
Yeah.
I think he was on America's Got Talent, one of those shows. Anyway, he's got a show here in Vegas now, and they were introducing his band, and the guitar player was from Nashville, so I got, like, really excited about it. I'm like, oh my god, he's from Nashville! Then, like, sure enough, within, like, minutes, this tweet comes through, and I'm like, no way.
That's funny.
It was, like, very ironic, so. Anyway, that was my story. Sorry for interrupting.
Tay Swift Girl 13, G-U-R-L, said, "You know you're a Swiftie when your sis gets you a Taylor Swift lyric cake for your sweet 16, and all of your presents are T-Swift related."
Cool.
What is a lyric cake? Do they, like, write Taylor Swift lyrics on the cake?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking, like, they, like, made lyrics out of the cake, and I'm like, that would have been intricate and awesome. Like, I want a cake, like, formed in the word Sparks Fly or something.
That's cool.
That would be a big cake.
Right?
Yeah, probably.
That's,
would.
Like, for a big party or something.
Well, maybe I'm having a huge party on my birthday, inviting, like, 300 people. It's in less than a week.
So, then why don't you get a Sparks Fly cake?
No, you guys can be a Sparks Fly cake. It's my birthday!
I don't want to get you a Sparks Fly cake.
You're so rude.
I know. Anyway, next one from @SwiftieRules. "You know you're a Swiftie when you love Taylor to the point in which your parents think you're insane or even a stalker." Have any of you three been called a stalker, a Taylor stalker before?
I've been just called a general, like, celeb stalker, not necessarily specifically Taylor.
Yeah, the guy I work for, my employer, he calls me a stalker all the time.
You know, all I can think of when I hear the word stalker is Antoine Dodson, interested in climbing in your window.
Oh my gosh. Hide your kids, hide your wife.
Hide your wife. And hide your husband's cousin.
Yeah. All right, anyway, Maya, round us out, please.
All right, and our last one is from @SwiftieForever13, and they said, "If Swifties ruled the world, the Beliebers would be outraged, because for a moment, all the Swifties got to rule the world."
Aw, like Taylor pun.
That's not a pun. Oh, that's moment. Good.
They're all puns. Never said it bad, Taylor pun. I said Taylor pun. Anyway. So thank you for all those submissions, everyone. If you could keep them coming, please do. You've got a 2-week break to think of some good ones. So
let's move on to the holiday segment.
Yes, we are going to do a holiday segment.
Yay, presents! Yay! Lots of songs for us.
Speaking of lots of songs for you. Santa, would you like to introduce us to our first discussion topic for the holiday segment?
Sure can. We're going to be discussing Taylor Swift Holiday Collection EP. It was originally released in October 2007, exclusively at Target, then re-released for a wider audience in December 2008. It peaked at number 20 on the Billboard 200 list and number 1 on the top holiday albums. It can be purchased currently for $5.99 on iTunes or $1.29 per song.
Or you put it in my stocking for free. You better put one in mine too, or I'll tell Taylor.
You can also get them at Walmart and at Target.
While supplies last.
Well, they all can. We can't because we're stuck in the factory making bear toys.
You are going to be the coal stuffer next Christmas.
Figures you'd threaten me. Everybody heard Santa threaten me.
So, guys.
I'll sue you.
I don't think the court system applies in the North.
So, let's talk about the contents of the Holiday Collection EP. Last Christmas is Taylor's fun and playful version of a song originally written by George Michael. Have my elves heard this song yet?
Yes.
Would you sing it for us, please?
Give you my heart and the very next thing. Give it away. This is to save me from tears.
We don't do singing, we just make presents.
Hey, Santa, you gotta tell your elves to get it in check. They're as bad at singing as we are.
This is not a Christmas choir.
So, next song on the EP is Christmases When You Were Mine. This is one of two tracks that was written by Taylor. However, it was also co-written with Liz Rose and Nathan Chapman.
Liz Rose also co-wrote White Horse with Taylor, didn't she?
Yeah, and You Belong With Me and a bunch of other ones.
Thank you, Liz Rose, for co-writing so many of the Taylor songs that we all love. So, elves, take it away, please. Christmas is when you were mine.
Please take down the mistletoe. I don't want to think about that right now. Everything I want is miles away in a snow-covered little town. That was beautiful!
Jellybean, I didn't hear you singing. Next track on the list, Santa Babe.
That's my favorite song.
Mine too.
Originally written in 1953, before my fellow elf friends were born, by Joan Javits and Philip Springer. It is Taylor's sort of innocent version of a previously risque and flirty song. That's why I love Taylor. She's always on the nice list.
Santa, could you put a ring in Jensita's stocking?
I don't think Mrs. Claus would be happy about that. Santa is always on the nice list. He does not cheat on Mrs. Claus.
Belle would also like some diamond rings in hers.
The gift that lasts forever.
My personal favorite is this song, Santa Baby, because, well, it's about me. So, elves, please sing.
I will be happy to sing if you will increase my pay wage.
Okay, you will now get 3 cookies per week instead of 2.
Okay. And just one little thing, a ring, and I don't mean on the phone. Santa Baby, so hurry down the chimney.
This is the thing. I no longer use the chimney technique.
You're too fat?
Yes. To put it bluntly, I have eaten a few too many cookies this year. I'll be knocking at your door.
In other words, kids, everybody give Santa water and carrot sticks this year for Christmas. We're putting him on a diet.
All right. Thank you, elves. Next song on the list is the only one I am old enough to remember. It was written back in the 1800s called Silent Night.
You're really old, Santa.
Oh, yes. Santa has been around a long time. Anyway, next song on the track list, Christmas Must Be Something More. The only song on this EP written exclusively by Taylor.
She's a good writer.
Yes, she is.
It's something we all try to ignore. You put a wreath up on the door. Christmas must be something more.
Thank you for that solo, Jellybean.
You're welcome, Santa.
Aww, such a sweet elf. Rounding out the list on the EP is White Christmas, written by Irving Berlin in 1942. Elves.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Just not a snow white Christmas. Come on, Chipper, stay with it.
I'm trying.
So that rounds out the list of Taylor's Holiday Collection EP. You can purchase that on iTunes for $5.99. Or put it on your wish list. Give it to Mom and Dad to mail to the North Pole, and I may just show up with it in your stocking.
Yay! Taylor sounds much better than we do.
Alright, thank you, guests, Santa and elves. On to the next bit of holiday. Holidayness, the Liz and Charlie cover challenge video, Winter Wonderland.
That was a cool collaboration since we had Charlie on the show a couple episodes ago, and then Liz from the agency actually teamed up with him for this special video, and they look so cute dancing around and holding hands and making cookies.
So I kind of feel like we should bring the elves back to do Winter Wonderland.
No.
I think that the elves have sung enough.
I think the elves are set. I think they've done enough singing.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Let's have Santa sing.
Santa,
why don't you go ahead and sing?
Go for it.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland.
Yay, Santa!
Yay!
Good job, Santa!
Can I have 3 cookies again now?
You can have 3 cookies again. I just think, if you want to hear a much nicer rendition of that song, listen to Charlie and Liz.
You can actually download it for free on Charlie Worsham's Facebook page, so go like it and look for the band page to download.
Yeah, Santa, did you know you don't even have to deliver that one to people? Charlie's offering it for free. It's like Charlie Claus.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, Charlie. We hope you're listening.
Virtual hand hearts. You.
Virtual hand hearts.
Virtual hand hearts to Charlie and Liz for collaborating with Charlie. All right, so let's bring back Santa, shall we?
What's on Taylor's Christmas list, Santa?
Well, Belle, Jensita, Maya, Adam, what is on your Christmas lists for this year?
A diamond ring.
Mac computer, so make it happen, Santa.
Oh ho ho, Mac computer, that is the way to go. Jensita, I'll be putting in a word to your boyfriend.
Thank you.
I don't do diamonds.
Maya?
A kitten. It's a good Christmas present.
Like Meredith?
Yes.
Just like Meredith.
Yeah.
And Adam? I want Taylor. Oops, did I say that out loud?
And he can't just give you Taylor because that would be infringing on free will.
I suppose. In that case, Santa, I think you should bring me...
Dr. Pepper?
Dr. Pepper! Oh my gosh! Please, Santa, Dr. Pepper!
Lifetime supply?
You know it. Only the best.
I'm coming
lifetime
over.
Lifetime supply.
Me too. I'm gonna share in the supply.
So, you guys are all Taylor Swift fans. Can you tell me what you think Taylor wants for Christmas?
A pasta maker?
A pasta maker?
Mm-hmm.
And some antique picture frames.
Well, I am an antique, so I'm sure I can find some antique picture frames.
Anything from Free People or Anthropology?
So, I will do my best to make sure Taylor and all the co-hosts of Taylor Talk get their Christmas wish lists fulfilled.
Thank you, Santa.
So.
Thank you, Santa.
Let's take it away with the next segment of Taylor Talk, which is, What Would Taylor Do? This week's What Would Taylor Do? Was brought to you by @SneffyLynn. She said, What would Taylor do if Christmas was canceled?
Christmas is gonna be canceled? A year.
Christmas can't be canceled. I'll be out of work.
That's the only day that you do work, Santa.
That's very true.
If Christmas was canceled, there would be no Christmas trees or cookies to bake or parties to
No draw. Happy, excited Taylor to decorate a tree or make cookies for Christmas.
She would have to return all of her Christmas coffee creamers.
Uh-oh. I think for the sake of Taylor, we need to make sure Christmas is never canceled.
I agree.
Nobody wants a sad Taylor.
No, no. Chipper, wouldn't that be so sad?
That would be awful.
What do you think Taylor would do?
I think if Christmas got canceled, she would just make her own Christmas anyways.
Oh, like she would chop down her own tree?
Yeah.
And make paper ornaments?
You guys,
Yeah, and make presents for
Let's all go
friends.
To Taylor's Christmas instead of Santa's.
Yeah, let's do it. I bet hers is better anyways.
Santa, look, a bird. Everybody, run out the front door.
Wait, where did everybody go? There's only a week till Christmas and I don't have my elves? Hello? Hello?
Well, that was sad.
That was.
I don't know, man. I'm kind of jealous of those elves. They're going to go hang out with Taylor for Christmas.
I kind of feel bad for Santa. Maybe we should go hang out with Santa.
Oh, Santa. You have Mrs. Claus.
You can have a nice, quiet Christmas at home with your wife.
Oh my gosh, Christmas is in exactly a week from today, the day we're recording. Like, what is Santa going to do without his elves?
He's going to have to figure out something.
Poor guy.
Well, his reindeer will, like, help, won't they?
I mean, they fly and stuff. Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is at least Taylor gets to have a happy Christmas, which the question initially was, what would Taylor do if Christmas was canceled? So at the very least, Taylor's Christmas is not canceled, right?
Right.
Yeah.
The elves will see.
I'm sure the elves will make sure she has an awesome Christmas.
Yeah. So, Sneffy Lynn, thank you for submitting that. Again, before we sign off, I just want to remind everybody about winter break. We will not be recording on Christmas or New Year's. So our first episode will come in January on, what, New Year's Day is the first. So I guess January 8th will be when we're recording the next episode of Taylor Talk. Hope to see you guys then. But for episode 7, this has been Adam,
Belle,
Jensita,
and Maya.
And Santa.
And Jingles. Jellybean.
And Chipper.
Have a happy holiday, everybody.
Happy New Year's.
Bye.
We are in no way directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.
But wait.
Bloopers.
So, let's talk about the contents of the Holiday Collection EP. We have Last Christmas. What do you elves think of Last Christmas?
Ooh, Last Christmas when you did so many things with me. I like it.
Wow.
I'm cutting this out. I'm cutting so much.
Last Christmas.
That's what I'm
wrong. So Last Christmas.
I'm dying.
I can't breathe.